Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In episode 40, our visionary is Tara Singh Vachane, Executive Chairman of Antara Senior Living and Vice Chairman of Max India. Antara is a first-of-its-kind senior living space in India, which opened its first residence community in Dehradun and has been growing ever since. Tune in as Tara talks about her journey with building Antara, the taboos and roadblocks she faced, her larger role in Max Group, and her personal voyage as a mother.
Having me, Swati. It's a pleasure to be here. I grew up in Delhi, very much born and brought up here, as were my elder siblings. I have an elder sister and an elder brother. Grew up in a family, the five of us, while we were part of a larger family and somewhat a joint family for early part of my life and childhood. The five of us, in a way, my parents were very hands-on parents. In spite of my father being very busy and building his businesses and my mother supporting him and all of us the way in which she did. A very nurturing, very loving family for the early parts of my childhood. I always remember myself as being quite a busybody, and I've always been told that I was quite entertaining. So that's always nice to know. I went to school in Delhi and then I went to boarding school for my last 2 years of high school to England. I followed in my brother's footsteps, and those were really the two most precious years of my education, I would say, because I resonated with the English school system. I made friends for life, and I really felt a sense of independence and coming into my own in those 2 years. I then studied French in the south of France for a year after that. Essentially, I took a gap year between school and university. And while I was all set to go back to the UK to do my undergrad, while I was living in France, actually, my father came to visit and he said to me, "Would you ever consider going and studying in Singapore?" And he had actually just finished doing a talk at the National University of Singapore. And I thought this conversation was completely out of the blue, because I had never even visited Singapore. As a family, we had spent a lot of time in England and Europe growing up, so it just seemed very natural for me to go back there. And I wasn't close to the idea, and maybe that was a sign of me, you know, not being scared to try new things. And I visited Singapore for a weekend. I fell in love with the university, the faculty, and I then spent 3.5 years there for my undergrad. I then came back to India to figure out what it is I wanted to do. And that's really when my professional journey started. So that's a bit of a snapshot from zero to age 21.
And what happened after that, like post your 21 and your early 20s, did you directly lunge into, say, the professional aspect of things, or did you still take your time into figuring out what is it that you want to do, and then sort of took the next step?
You know, I was very lucky, Swati, that organically my journey started to unfold. You know, like I mentioned before, I'm not someone who likes to sit on the sidelines. I like to be engaged and involved. I'm not one of those who watches the world go by. So when I moved back to India for a couple of months and I thought very hard about what I saw for myself for the next 5 years, I always knew I was going to be a working person. I always knew I wanted to be responsible for something. I wanted to create something possibly. And so in the first year, my father at that time was still very active in terms of an executive role in the Max Group, which is what he founded. And he said, "Look, come be a fly on the wall." At that point, my brother had sort of charted out his own journey, which was outside of the mainstream businesses. My sister wasn't really involved in the business of the businesses. And I sort of did an internship fly on the wall role for a year. And I say it very openly today that I was thoroughly bored. I got to learn, I got to see the ongoings of how the day-to-day life of an office and business happens. Because I did not have direct responsibility, it just did not suit me. And during that period, we were actually auditing an acquisition in Southeast Asia. And I got talking to a very enterprising lady in Hong Kong. And she had created a company of her own, which was in the serviced hospitality apartment business. And she started talking to me about the concept of senior care and elder care and how that was the next big bet for her in Southeast Asia. And that just triggered an idea in my head. And I said, why is India, with the population that we have of aging people, are we not thinking about this concept here? And, you know, just a quick, you know, few seconds on the fact that by that point, my family was already in the healthcare, health insurance, life insurance business, and in some shape and form, the hospitality business. And I sort of reflected and I said, look, if I can put all of our experience and shake it all up from hospitality to infrastructure, insurance, and healthcare, perhaps this could be a very unique opportunity for elder care and senior care. And so I remember coming back to India, having this conversation with my father and saying, can I experiment this idea? Now, the problem at that point was I had no business building experience. I was a politics and literature major. I had not done any business PowerPoints and Excel sheets and business planning and analytics. So I felt, while skill-wise very out of sorts, I felt very passionate and I felt very ambitious about taking this on. And at that point, actually, an old friend who was finishing his MBA at Harvard Business School wanted to come to India and, you know, do an internship here between his first and second year. And he was the perfect, you know, background of consulting currently at Harvard Business School. And I said, this is great. You come and be the brains. I'll try and be the heart and, you know, organize this idea together. And we did that. And fast forward now 10 years, actually, in May of this year, we incorporated Antara. And that essentially then became my journey from the age of 21 till now. And now I'm 33.
Yeah. So, Tara, could you tell me more about Antara? Like, where was the first living residence that you started? And how has it gone so far?
Sure. So, you know, when I started this research, Swati, after almost 2 years of studying these models all around the world, studying what existed in India, studying also what essentially I felt were the needs in India, I was convinced that the right approach to senior care and elder care was through a model called the continuing care communities, where essentially you enter, you live in those communities as a lifestyle concept, knowing very well that the services and the infrastructure are equipped to handle your entire age in place process. And at that point of time, because, you know, this category did not exist in India, I do take credit for contributing to the category creation, for better or worse, because also being category creators means probably being faced with the maximum number of challenges you can. So we chose Dehradun as the first location for our first residence. Because it's a beautiful, we had a beautiful site, we had lovely weather. It's also known as a destination people are happy to go as they get older. And we really created what I will still consider the feather in our cap. And we created what I think is a beautiful residential community. But, you know, it took so much out of me to create that one community and to convince people of the idea and the price points and the location and the lease model and why this was so important. That while I had always envisioned Antara to be more than just that one residential community, it took me a long time to get to a point where I created enough bandwidth, capital, and confidence for myself and those around me to then scale up the business. So from 2013 to 2018, we just focused on perfecting this community. We opened, we started construction in 2013. We opened in 2017. And in essentially early part of 2017, it was very interesting. I found out I was pregnant. And it was also the same time I had just opened the doors of Dehradun, you know. And it was a pivotal moment because by that point, I had already started to think about what Antara 2.0 would look like. And I can talk to you about that in a few minutes, about what then the next phase of Antara was, which started off in 2018.
Yeah. But Tara, tell me that when you initially began, what sort of cultural taboos and stigmas did you face while starting this initiative? Because India, culturally, we are, we have come from an idea of a joint family, and even when most of the tier one and metropolitan cities have seen nuclear families being developed around the cities, it is still a very vague idea when it comes to something like a senior living, because in a culture like us, it almost feels like you're abandoning your parents, right? That's how it translates. So how did you sort of figure that out in the initial stages and with the first residents in Dehradun?
So essentially, Swati, when I created Antara Dehradun and the dream around it, we were very clear that we were going to target people who were already living without their children. We knew that we were going to have challenges convincing, somebody in a joint family structure that this is the right thing for them. And I will say to you that the benefits of living in an ecosystem that is all about you and focused on your quality of life as you get older is the best ecosystem. And very rarely do people, as they are getting older, get that support, even living in joint families, right? So I put that aside. One of the ways we knew we could tackle that stigma was talking to people in their 50s and 60s who anyway lived independently. And then the question was, where you are currently living, do you find your quality of life 10 on 10? If not, this is the next stepping stone for you. So we actually only talked to the end user. The children and the family were welcome to be part of the conversation, but we never went to a child and said, you please fund this acquisition for your parents. So it was a whole philosophy of independence. It was a whole philosophy of creating relevance for you to make the decisions of how you wanted to live for the next 20, 30, 40 years. But even though this strategy worked, and I would say fast forward 5-6 years, we're in a completely different situation now in terms of taboo. This taboo does not exist any longer. The conversations, at least for this income bracket, right? Because at the end of the day, we did create a product that was priced for an upper middle income person. So at this income group and the progression that has happened in mindset has drastically shifted over the last 5 years. But having said that, when we started putting the community together, we also realized that there was a lot of need to break away some of those products and offerings. And that's why when we created Antara 2.0, or the next phase of our scale up, we now actually have 4 different business verticals, right? Okay. So the first vertical continues to be what we call residences for seniors, which is what we did in Dehradun. And now we've scaled up to do another project in Noida, which continues to be for the independent, progressive senior looking for great quality of life and aging in place. We have the second vertical, which is more clinical in nature, and they're called Antara Care Homes. We have 2 in NCR at the moment, and we're scaling up. But they are, 25, 30 room facilities where people come for recovery short term or long term and need 24/7 care. Now, that decision maker is the child or the family member. It's very rarely the senior themselves, because this is when they are more in need. We have the care at home vertical, which is home care for, people who don't want to move out of their current ecosystems. And we are also, diving into medical equipments and devices for seniors. So we started off with a very clear single focus of piloting, working with this category of people. And we then have transitioned into 4 different products and services and created a platform in an organized way. And I think because we have done that, and because I think somewhat our brand has helped us, that cultural stigma and that taboo that you're mentioning, I think, is weakening day by day. And people are understanding the need for organized players to support them as they get older.
And Tara, tell me that even with this shifting mindset, are there any interesting trends that you're witnessing within these? Are people much more willing to sign them up and sign their partners up for this? Are they excited? How are the people who are already living in these residences feeling? And is the word spreading out?
Sure. So, you know, in Antara Dehradun, pretty much 80% of all our new residents are referrals of existing residents. So that in itself will tell you that obviously if you're happy there, that's when you're going to invite people to come in. And that's been an amazing, amazing testimonial for us. Of course, there have been challenges, there are teething issues. We have to learn the sensitivities and the needs and the requirements of our residents. And that's a continuously evolving experience. But I think our vision, our passion, and our commitment to quality of life has really stayed strong all of these years. And I think the quality of life impact, therefore, has been positive for those who have been living there. And that's really spilled over even when we launched Antara Noida, for example. We outperformed on our sales milestones, much to our surprise, you know. So we realized that A, the location helped being closer to life as people knew it.
Yeah.
Two, there was a brand that we had established. And three, more than that, there was a dialogue and a positive dialogue that was established on aging now versus thinking of it as a scary, depressing, negative connotation. There was an aspiration that was being built about wanting a better quality of life. So we've definitely seen that shift. For the other verticals, as I mentioned, because they are more need-based, it's slightly more challenging. But because they are need-based, it seems like almost a commodity that is going to have to be scaled up. Because as people get older, we're over 200 million people over the age of 60 in India already at different income brackets, right? So you can imagine that while we keep talking about the young population of India and everything that needs to be done for them, the entire aging population has no formal products and services to support them getting older. So I think the cultural nuance has to change and has changed because the need of this entire platform getting created has surpassed any cultural and social stigmas.
Tara, just another thing that I want to ask you, and this is more from that personal lens of you being a mom.
Sure.
And being a mother is also a full-time job. How are you creating a new category in itself in the market while also handling the duties of a mom? How do you balance your personal and professional lives?
So I think, you know, the truth is I come from a very, very privileged position in terms of being able to have an infrastructure and support system around me that really makes one's dreams come true. So at an Antara level, we have a fantastic MD and CEO in Rajat Mehta, who is an experienced veteran in business building. So he actually is the main now core of Antara. I stepped away from being MD and CEO in 2019 and my role changed to being executive chairman. So I get involved in Antara on certain aspects and matters that A, I enjoy and B, I think I'm good at. And that was a big pivot for me to step back and get a bit detached from Antara and think about what was right for the business and right for my team and right for the organization. And that was a big switch that I made where I stepped back from the, I would say, the day-to-day monitoring of the business. I'm still involved day-to-day, but on aspects that I really enjoy doing. And at home, you know, my husband is an incredible father and he takes a lot of responsibility of the girls. And I live in an ecosystem where, you know, my daughter's grandparents are very hands-on and I have wonderful help at home that love these children also a lot. So I'm very grateful. I built, you know, they say it takes a village and I'm very grateful for being able to curate and build a village around me. So that's how I manage and juggle it all. And I always say this, my calendar is my bestest friend. So you stay organized and you stay on top of it, you can pretty much do anything.
Tara, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I mean, it was a lovely conversation. I just want to end this recording with one last question that at least I had in my mind, and I want to ask you in terms of everything that you have built with Antara and everything that has happened so far, what is your vision for the next 5 years? What are the exciting things that are in the pipelines which we might be able to see or we should expect?
Sure. So I may break that up into 2-3 buckets because I don't just wear an Antara hat, Swati. So from an Antara perspective, which is definitely my main baby, as I call it, we have a very exciting 5-year plan. We have the residences vertical launching Noida. From an operations point of view, we want to do at least one more residential community.
Yeah.
We have the other three verticals really scaling up. So today, what you know, you see is 2 care homes in the NCR. We're hoping to take that up to at least 10 or more, perhaps even go to another geography. Care at home to scale up as fast as care homes does. So the Antara promise and the journey for the next 5 years is a huge ask. We're essentially wanting to take and, you know, almost 10x our revenue in the next 5 years. So you can imagine for that to happen, all the input and all the planning that needs to get done. I'm also managing trustee of our foundation and I focus on education. So that's a very exciting journey in the next few years. We do a project called C-Learning, which is social emotional learning. And we really want to be able to get that to thousands of educators in India to then be able to take it to various schools. And at a personal level, I'm a mom of 2 young girls, Veda, yeah. who is 3.5, and my littler one, Avya, who is 10 months old. So I want to obviously play a very critical, crucial role in, you know, shaping them up to being strong, joyful, and passionate women. And I think the foundation of that starts at a young age. So the next 5 years, a lot of my time and energy will hopefully be built in spending time and building my family to be strong as well.
Thanks for listening in and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's vision.nari. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionaripodcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.